I guess I should kick off with a spot of lobbying, get it out of the way. I have some bribes, sorry, I mean gifts that I would like to give to you.
Welcome back to the Punters Politics Podcast, the show where we make politics simple for the everyday punter like me, Conrad.
And like me, James. And each week we dig into the stuff that politicians hope you do not notice.
Second week back, nailed it.
That was a lot smoother than last week.
Punters, in this episode, we have a long chat with one of the most powerful politicians we have ever gained access to here on the Punters Politics Podcast.
Albanese.
I wish.
Mr. Dutton?
Well, he's not powerful anymore. Nope. He would be lower. Peter Dutton would be lower ranking than who we have. Let me get to the rest of the spell of what's coming up in the episode to keep those short attention span punts being like, is this worth listening to or not? We check out David Pocock's smackdown of a political maneuver, and we perform a social media audit on an unsuspecting politician.
Sounds good.
But first up, they've been at it again.
Now we got our new nickname. We're the Sticky Bandits.
Now, Punter James, I have an image for you that I have been assured.
Oh, gross. I don't want to see that.
I mean, you jerk. I have been assured that this bin sticker...
Ah, right. Yep. Okay. So I'm looking at one of your bin stickers on a bin, funnily enough.
The one that explains how much royalties Norway gets, which is a lot, and how much Australia gets for our gas, which
can
is
can barely
zero.
See our bar.
Yeah, it's not even there.
And it's behind some bars?
Yeah. So it's a bin is clearly in someone's front yard.
Okay.
I have been assured that that is on politician Tanya Plibersek's wheelie bin. Oh. Her personal wheelie bin.
It's on her wheelie bin.
I've been assured it is on her wheelie bin. Do you know how I know this?
No.
Because I took that photo.
You're kidding. Did you put it there?
All I'm saying is I also noticed a bin sticker somewhere where it might not have wanted to be.
Okay.
And I reported it to the punters.
Yep.
Not saying who did it. But it also segues to the politician that we have on coming up.
Right. Okay. Very cool.
Coincidentally, might be someone named Tanya Plibersek. But anyway, we will come to that in a little bit. So for those sticky bandits out there, sticking the bin stickers on prominent pieces of public property, private property, whatever it is, we discourage all illegal activity and vandalism with the stickers. Mm. If you see it, send us a photo reporting the location, and we will reward you with a Punters Politics prize pack, which contains
one replacement sticker so you can get at it again.
No, well, we hope.
So you can see where it was got at again, and you could report another incident.
Correct.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Real quick, before we do get into the crux of the episode.
Yeah.
Liberal Party, new leader. What's going on?
Ah, did they announce any new policies, did they, Punter James?
New policies?
Yeah, did they? No?
No? No. Not that I've heard of.
Ah, okay.
I think in his speech he was sort of like, you know, Labor ruined everything, Liberals going to come in and fix it, the coalition, we're here for you.
So like vague political language about new leader, but nothing's really changing?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay, yeah, okay, well, you know what I'm going to do here? Beauty pageant politics, let the
drama spin. But I ain't spending any time on it.
Well, we're obviously not spending any time on this.
Yeah, I don't
because
spend any time on
beauty
this.
Pageant politics.
Yeah.
It's Angus Taylor.
It is Angus. Hang on. Is that the same Angus Taylor who was like the 2IC under P Dutts after he copped a historic flogging in the election last year? Yeah, is that Angus Taylor?
I'm pretty sure he's the guy. Yep.
I just want to get this right. Is it the same Angus Taylor whose own government he was a part of bought $80 million worth of water that we taxpayers never got from a company that he was the director of?
Oof.
And the money also went through a Cayman's Island tax haven. Is it that Angus Taylor?
I think it might be. I think it's the same guy.
Well, it's good to clarify.
Is it the same guy who, on his own Facebook post, in his own account, on an announcement of some kind, commented
car parks,
commented to himself, Well done.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Well done, Angus. Was it congratulations, fantastic, well done, Angus?
Yeah, while we're not spending any time on this, I had a moment where, you know, the internet, it can be a brutal mistress at times.
Other times, it can just be hilarious.
Other times.
And I did the same as what you did, right? I scrolled through those comments just seeing how many, well done, Angus.
On his leadership announcement post, I was late to the party. I commented it as well. But when I commented, there was like 500 comments of it.
Yep.
Then I refreshed like 20 minutes later, 3,500 comments. Yep. Fantastic, Angus. Well done, et cetera, et cetera.
You know what that is?
You're done.
That's peak social media. That's what that is. Yeah. Just going, this is too good.
It's too good.
I'm commenting.
And honestly, here's the advice I'd give to Fantastic Angus, Mr. Fantastic Angus Taylor.
Mm.
That needs to be your election slogan. Like, you need to lean into this.
Embrace
as
it.
As hard as you possibly can.
Yep.
And be like, what are people saying about me? Fantastic, Angus. Well done. Like, lean into it. Own it. It's your only way out. Mm. You can't ignore this. It's too good. I'm so glad we spent no time on that.
Zero time.
Politician lines it up and, well, hang on.
There's a question from left field and, oh my God, I don't believe it. What a maneuver. That has got to be Political Play of the Day.
Punter James, let me just pull up the weapon himself, David Pocock's latest Instagram reel.
Now, it has just been Senate estimates for the past sort of week, 10 days now.
Which explains to the punts who I keep forgetting what Senate estimates even is.
Right. Well, all these committees are essentially the opposition and the crossbench keeping the government to account.
Just grilling them. Hey, why'd you do this? Why'd
it is.
You do that?
Yeah, so it's the all the senators saying to all the ministers and all the heads of different agencies across the government, where have you spent this money? Why have you spent this
justifying
money? Justifying spending.
It's the boring and best bit of our democracy. Or the best boring bit of our democracy.
Yeah, now, question time is the worst part of our democracy. However,
if Senate, we're ranking parts of our democracy.
Yeah, Senate estimates for someone who is actually like intrigued to go a step further.
Yeah.
Sometimes boring, sometimes brilliant.
And it's a great content farm for politicians to get their soundbite up. And you know how it's an absolute amazing clip.
Mm.
7.5 million views on David Pocock's Instagram account.
Yeah,
Punters Politics, I do well on the Instas. Top views for me, 6 mil.
Yeah, I guess so. This is gone.
He has eclipsed me at 7.5 mil. Let's take a look at what has happened.
Maybe we need to start tagging beer and everything.
Would it be accurate to say that the tax on offshore gas exports, PRT, is still giving us less revenue than the tax on beer?
Have a look.
Have a look. Make double check those numbers.
Sorry, just bear with me a second.
Is the public
servant. In 25, 26 in my info, taxes on beer, we're expecting 2.7 billion.
Bloody quick at looking it up.
Taxes
that's
from
a professional
beer
right
IT,
there.
Yeah. 1.5, so yes, lower than.
How do we live in a country, one of the biggest gas exporters in the world, and we're getting more tax from beer than PRT? Maybe it's one for the minister. It's a political decision.
And now it's thrown over to Katie Gallagher, the politician, because that was a public servant who doesn't make the decision. He's the lackey.
Right now the priority is delivering on our election commitments and on including the bill that the Treasurer introduced today.
Okay, just quick breakdown before we share some thoughts on it. Pocock. I call that a political headshot. It's probably bad to use gun analogies when it comes to politics.
Yeah, maybe we'll go with something different.
Let's go with pool. He's set up a solid snooker. He's tapped the ball into the right position.
Yep.
Right there. There's no way out. And he's calmly done it, simply done it in a quick, simple way.
Mm.
Katie Gallagher, she's in a tough spot. She knows she's snookered because he goes, it's a political decision, meaning you can change this.
Yep.
She goes to, well, I don't know what the tactic is exactly, but I think the tactic is sound so boring, everyone loses attention span. And then she rattles off some talking point that you said is the Chris Bowen talking point that this is, they literally got to be handing out post-it notes in the Labor Party being like, when they bring up this is what you say.
Yeah.
oh, we're delivering. We made some changes. That brings in a little. She's trying to like, what's that Pokemon? Is it Snorlax? Yeah. Did he put people to sleep?
Yeah, yeah.
She Snorlaxed him, right?
Big time.
But it didn't work because you bring up beer to Aussies, a $1.2 billion difference between what we're getting for gas, a $100 billion industry, and I believe the numbers I saw, fact checks, welcome, citations necessary, we spend about $20 billion on beer or something a year in Australia. Okay. So we're talking about, once again, not only bringing in more, and once again, who pays the tax on that beer?
Everyday taxpayer.
It's we regular taxpaying punts.
Yeah.
Whereas who should be paying the royalty on their gas? Some Japanese-owned cartel.
Multinational.
American multinational. So obviously that is Dee Pocock knocking it out of the park.
Mm.
Katie Gallagher, zero Pocock, five.
Oh, five big
just
ones.
As many different.
Because why not?
Actually, you know what? A seven.
Yeah.
He hit it for a six, but it kept going at 7 points.
It's out of the stadium.
At 7.5 million views,
yep.
He has mastered the social media clip. Mm. It has been potent. It has been viral. And Aussies have been radicalized by this issue. Well played,
yep.
Masterclass.
Oh, yeah, 7 points. Maybe Pocock takes five of them for the actual question, but the social media team behind
bonus.
Takes a bonus 2 points. Yeah.
Well
done.
Clipped.
Well clipped.
So well played, Katie Gallagher, back to the pavilion.
Yeah.
She hit it for us. So, I don't know. Missed the cricket metaphor. Don't think about that, but I want to say back to the pavilion. Also, quick one. This did so well. I commented on it and I said, love how old mate has to look it up. Hasn't he seen any of my Instagram reels? Yeah, he should know.
Could be able to quote it, right?
Now, this got 11,500 likes.
Right.
This got me followers by piggybacking on his tsunami.
That's a lot. Now, did you see Pocock respond to your comment?
No.
Because I think it's worth taking a look at because I think we can dive into it a bit.
There's 200 replies to this.
You got to find it.
Well, I'm getting some credit. I can't take credit. Some of it, mate, you woke up the masses on this scam. They were around it. I did help popularize. It was a team effort. Thanks to the boys.
You've been communicating it for a fair few years now.
Yeah, it's been a team. And it couldn't be done without good research from the Australian Institute that does all the graphs and stuff. It was a team. All up the boys. Full credit to the boys.
David Pocock responds to this comment. He tags you, Pundit's Politics, and he says, understand the outrage, but he's an excellent public servant doing the right thing by making sure he gave me the right information. It's politicians, not public servants, responsible for the decisions that have resulted in us giving away our gas. Now,
that's fair. I'm going to say that's fair.
I would say fair, 100% correct.
It's a clear, I guess what he feels bad that this public servant is now in probably the most viral Australian political Instagram clip.
Yeah.
He's got the crown from me. I'm actually pissed off about this.
But listen, this is what I want to say about this, right? If Katie Gallagher's sitting there and she's got three.
Official title.
Sorry, if Minister Katie Gallagher, if politician Katie Gallagher is sitting there and she's got three people to her left and three people to her right, these are the heads of agencies in her portfolio.
Yeah.
These are the top paid public servants in Australia.
So they don't make the decisions, but they are the lackeys that enact the laws that politicians have.
Yeah, but even calling them lackeys is a big misinterpretation because these are the people at the top of the policy. They are recommending policy to our politicians. These people...
But then the politician can say, yeah, nah.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. Okay. But these people are experts at what they do. Yes, he had to look up a figure. More than happy with that because you've done your job.
I'm happy for a fact check. Good on him.
But I think...
And as commenter pointed out in this, punter T-Roy says, I was actually impressed that he didn't just say, take it on notice. Which is what they all bloody do to avoid answering the question and avoid clips like this.
Yeah, but if you're one of these heads of agencies, your essential role in Senate estimates is to answer every single question so that you don't have to give work back to your agency in the months ahead of going and answering all these questions and then submitting them back.
Yeah.
I think any head of agency, any academic that they've got there is fair game. They are on a very good salary.
How much? What do you reckon?
If you're a head of an agency, you're on 500 up.
Five. And the Katie Gallagher would be on 400 to 500.
Yeah, something like that, like a minister.
So here's what I know. Politicians, and we can factor his politicians, if you're not in government, it's like 230, 240.
Yep.
And if you are in government, which is why the politicians always want to be in government, yeah, they double their pay salary.
If you're a cabinet minister, it's like...
She'll be on 400 to 500.
Yeah,
Albo's on 600, so she'll be on just shy of that.
Yep, so some of these heads of agencies are on a lot more than that. They have spent...
earning more than the Prime Minister.
Yeah, and they've spent their whole career in the public service. That's really the only way to get to the top of the public service.
So what you're trying to say to me, Punter James, is don't feel bad for the bloke. He's got at least $500,000 to cry into.
Yeah, not even that guy. Just generally, just in Senate estimates, yeah. I'm like, anyone on that panel is fair game. Yep.
Because they're getting paid for it and this is their job.
Yep. As a public servant, your job is to remain apolitical. So it doesn't really matter who's in government. You're providing the best policy advice.
Yeah.
So that's an important thing to consider that, yes, the minister can just say, nah, we don't like that advice. Yeah. We're going with something else. But they're fair game.
I'm with you. All right. Fine. Fair game. Late. Have at him. I won't stand in your way. Punter James, brand new segment, a politician social media audit.
Oh, okay.
We're already looking at a few social media clips that come from politicians.
Yeah, they're starting to get big.
Yeah.
Well, it depends what your algorithm is like, right?
Yeah, fully.
Senate Week comes along and holy dooly.
Yeah. If you're into the politics, it pops up.
Yeah.
But some politicians, they get on a trend and it cuts through.
Mm.
Some, it's a big flop. So I'd like punters out there to send me either some cringe reels from some politicians.
Right.
Or some bangers, some winners.
Yeah, bit of both.
Bit of both.
Because really, some of the cringe ones, I love them the most.
They're great. Here's one that got over a mil.
Ooh, okay.
So it's got cut through.
Yep.
So I want to draw attention and give credit to an unknown politician.
Okay, I'll be the judge of that because I don't know many of them.
Named Kat Theofanos. Theofanos.
Yep. Never
heard of her. No offense. Never heard of her. Check out this Instagram reel.
Do you want to know why he's not texting you right now?
Because Melbourne's new metro has opened this morning.
That's why.
Wowee. Well She's done. Done it.
Well done. I clicked, I watched, and you know what? I'm a fan of a metro.
Now, I know we said it about David Pocock's social media team. I would also give props to this one.
So, yeah, credit goes, that's why. Props to, it starts with an attractive girl who's obviously some kind of Instagrammer.
Yeah,
this
is a big stitch that lots of people use.
Yes, like, it's a common trend going around of this girl, you know, he's not texting you. And it was well played. You can run the risk of overdoing a trend, but to be honest, Instagram loves an imitation.
And something like this as well, it's timeless. It's not like some dumb thing that just lasts like a week. This will be around forever.
Yeah, and props to getting attention, because we always say like politicians will be like, no one's paying attention to the stuff we're actually doing.
Mm.
I didn't know Melbourne had a metro.
No.
I was just in Melbourne. I didn't know her metro.
Yep.
Respect. And so she's announcing, you know, Melbourne's got a metro. That's fantastic. I'm a big fan of Sydney's just opened one. Actually restores my faith in government.
Yeah.
That we can have
there
a bloody...
Go.
Yeah, genuinely.
This should be in Pep Up the Punts.
Genuinely should be. The Sydney metro is amazing. Okay. I've been on it twice.
Yep.
And I'm loving it.
And they're still doing more work to it
And they're still doing more work. So this is awesome stuff.
Okay.
So I've got to give... let's face it. It's probably the social media team. On that one, on Kat Theo, well played.
For sure, but well done. What's on the stories? Let's just have a quick little poke.
A quick audit.
Yeah, what's on the stories? Valentine's Day with the husband. That's lovely. Yes, well
just
done.
Just some personal stuff. Most of our other content is like, because what politicians
formal sit-down announcements with a script.
Yes. Hey, everybody, I'm sitting in front of here and I've just announced the metro. Everyone, no one's paying attention. Yep. Average view on all of her stuff, and this is why I want to draw attention to some average view 1 to 2,000, which is not bad.
Yeah,
11K on another one.
Oh wow! But on this one, yeah,
almost 2 million on this one.
Yep, you do a stitch with a different front cover, and you get 1.8 million views. Yep.
This is the alternative to like the government wasting money on running ads to let you know, wasting your taxpayer dollars on letting you know it. This is free to stitch.
Yes.
This costs zero. Well, let's not say $0 because the staffer clearly was involved in this.
Oh, for sure.
So that's cheap bang for buck.
Yep, exactly. Like
that's a cheap announcement, cheaper than they would have spent on advertising.
Okay. Using social media how it should be used. Well done, MP Kat Theo.
Politician Kat Theo, give your Instagram manager a bit of a pay bump or a bonus this week. Cheers from the punters.
Also, scroll down. I'm clicking on that every time.
I'm leaving that in. Leave that in. I mean, I clicked on it.
Okay,
we're really breaking this down as far as why people click and it just gets that initial, because algorithms are based on like viewership and time.
I'm not saying anything more.
It's on the record, mate. It does almost look like she's topless.
Conrad, like, I can't believe you said that. You're a pig.
I can cut that
You're
out.
A pig.
And so I think that's the initial thirst trap click.
Yep.
But once again, people stayed for the metro. They came for the attractive lady, stayed for the metro. Well played.
Yeah, I liked the ethereal music going with the metro, right? It was actually a cool
that's
video behind it.
That's also part of it.
Yeah.
And it's well done. All right, now down to business. It's probably shaping up to be a long app, but, you know, I don't care.
No, I think people will appreciate a long app every now and then.
Listen to it in two bites. Now to the most powerful politician the punters have ever had on the Punters Politics podcast.
Yeah, I reckon.
I'll be right back. Hang on.
If you bring Tanya Plibersek back in, I'm going to be very impressed.
It's going to be a long app, so I just brought some snacks. Would you like a piece of shortbread?
Shortbread. Yeah, sure. Thank you. Am I ASMRing, eating this into the microphone?
Yeah, it's just a piece of shortbread.
I feel like there's more to this than meets the eye.
Yeah, good. Would you like some crackers and honey? Or
I have a feeling I know where this is going. I'm not going to steal your thunder, but I have a feeling that
How are you feeling? You feeling good?
I mean, I'm going to enjoy this for more than one reason. First of all, it's a delicious shortbread. Now, where I think some people go wrong with shortbread...
Oh, yes, please.
...is too much... sugar, not enough salt. Now, this is perfect. It's got a nice little Himalayan
salt
flavor.
Yep. It's a
bit of
salt.
And what I would also say is the consistency is perfect. You know when you bite into some and it doesn't stick together well enough?
Too crumbly.
I don't like too crumbly. This is perfect. I would say a good amount of condensed milk has been used.
Would you like some honey to wash that down?
No. Okay. It looks like a nice honey, but I'm not washing shortbread down.
Okay, well, let me...
My question is...
Where did I get it from?
Who made this?
Well, the most powerful politician we've ever had on the show, named politician Tanya Plibersek.
Wow.
I went to her house.
Yeah, this to me is what... I'm coming back to that. This to me...
He's put down the shortbread, budget. He's put down the shortbread.
Because I want to get into this, right?
Yeah.
I'm very, number one, impressed... that you not only got a Tanya Plibersek interview, but number two...
Been to her house.
It was an invite to her... You sat in her backyard at her house and did this, right?
Yeah. So
What day was it?
Can't remember. A weekday.
Yeah.
Because my pitch was, when I'm pitching to these politicians, I want like a casual backyard chatting around the barbecue conversation...
Yeah.
...style of long-form chat. So when the opportunity popped up to potentially chat with Tanya Plibersek, I said, I don't know. I kind of want an informal setting, their backyard, where they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Because I was also thinking like...
You didn't request that though. That you were surely just like, look, I just want to sit down and have a chat.
Or, I requested...
You put it on your rider.
Yeah, pretty much. I requested their backyard because that was the... I'm just experimenting with ideas. Yeah. My idea was go to a politician's backyard, have a chat, you know. And I kind of
super informal, super like an organic conversation where they feel the safest.
Even
right?
Camping chairs, you know, very Andrew Callahan, Channel 5. If you're watching American based stuff, he spoke to.
That's a wild reference, punters.
No one's gonna watch it. He interviewed Hunter Biden in his backyard. And thought it was a cool kind of chat vibe.
Did he bring his laptop?
No, he lost it, remember? Yeah,
sure.
American stuff. I was thinking like Hill's Hoist in the backyard, we're all just having an informal chat. So that was the pitch. And so I spoke to politician Tanya Plibersek for an hour and a half.
Generous with the time.
Very generous with the time. Mm. Went half an hour over. The staffer was sitting there. I was kind of looking at me like, I'm going way over on this thing. Is the staffer going to like be like, all right, time to wrap her up?
Yeah.
Didn't.
The staffer either didn't get the signal or missed the signal and was in trouble afterwards when she's like, scratching her nose.
The staffer's either in trouble.
Kelly!
So, like, in the lead up to this interview, because we'll play a bit of the interview. If you want the full uncut version of just the full chat, punters over on Patreon who support the show, they're going to get it. They've got it right now. They can listen to it right now. Uncut. You'll just get the trim down best bits, best of. Yep. And keep an eye on the Punters Politics YouTube channel. most of that will pop up on the long form over there. Because I like people to see a politician long form without these soundbite news media gotcha moments where they're like, have to say something, they have to be really scripted. I wanted to see if I could make them feel comfortable, have a chat, kind of air my grievances and kind of be a conduit on behalf of the punters. And going into it, I almost cancelled this interview.
Really? Why?
Because as I assess, like, what is punters politics for, I was just having an existential crisis.
Right.
On
perfect on, timing.
Yeah. Yeah. On, like, should I be talking to politicians and giving them the opportunity to, like, market through the punters politics thing? Like, I just want to hold politicians accountable. I just want to expose the government corruption, the corporate corruption, and whichever corruption surrounds so that we can have a more effective government. And if you get too close and chummy with politicians, you realize most of them are really nice people, really charismatic people. And it can kind of compromise you a little bit because you just get connected. That's how the lobbying works.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, am I getting too close to this? And so I put it to the punters over on Patreon. I said, should I?
Well, well done. You outsourced the decision, which is brilliant. That's very good.
So I completely outsourced the decision. And I said, punters, here's the opportunity. Tanya Plibersek, should I interview? Should I not? You know, take a crack at what the poll came back at.
I think this would have been a popular one. I'm going, 90% yes.
Really? You would have thought people, whereas I wasn't sure. Anyway, 83% said interviewer.
Yep.
And you're pretty, So you,
I was banging on the mic.
Are you in that camp? You're like, of course, do the chat.
Yeah, big time. I think there's holding people account, but to do that, you need to understand their perspective a little bit as well. Like, we just don't want to get caught up in our 100% cynicism all the time. Like,
yeah, fair.
Really, if we're looking at it, there has to be some good people around in every party and every in the crossbench, in the independents as well. They're not just all the same, painted with the same brush.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do because the cynicism, I like a bit of cynicism, as you can suspect.
Yeah, don't we all?
Because there's plenty to be cynical about.
Yeah.
But if we, and this is why we do longer form podcasts for the punters who are interested in trying to work out how to do something about this. If we only go pure cynicism, we all disengage from politics.
Yep.
And when you disengage, the power vacuum is willingly stepped into by large corporations and lobbyists.
It's when
and they get whatever effing rule they want.
Yep. That's when the bad actors come in and they go, look at these idiots who are now disengaged.
Yes.
Yep.
With that said, here is the interview.
Whoa. Yeah. Now, for all the punters out there, like me, who are short on time, you've got all the time in the world, Conrad.
The
Let's be serious.
Hey, I get it. Time poor punts.
For all the time poor punts out there, I've done a little bit of an edit myself just for some of those key points along the way. Right. Take a listen.
I have some bribes. Sorry, I mean gift that I would like to give to you. Big change takes time.
Shut up, Tanya.
Be careful. Tax cuts.
I love gas so much.
Teal shill.
Go stick your head up a bear's ass.
Tax cut. Mm.
Tax cuts.
You're a teal shill.
Muppet.
Wages.
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 No. Labor shill.
Listen to this fucking mutant. Oh, okay. I guess you got the message.
Yes, I did.
All right. So if your curiosity has been piqued, here is the punter edit.
Here's the head punt edit.
Just punter. Here's the Conrad punter edit of the conversation.
Tanya Plibersek, thank you so much for welcoming the punters, not just me, but the punters to your backyard, your own personal backyard. I guess I should kick off with a spot of lobbying, get it out of the way. I have some bribes, sorry, I mean gifts that I would like to give to you.
Yep.
It's sub $300 of value, but if you'd like to declare it, you could. This is a wireless charging mouse pad that's with an inspirational quote on it.
Politician representing the punters against the wishes of corporate lobbyists and political donors. Conrad, only you would come up with such a wonderful gift. Only you.
This is a masterclass in political manoeuvres that I will be using next Christmas. Yeah. Wow, only you. That is something special. So I'm here because the punters, I was on the fence about, you know, do I speak to politicians more? Do I speak to politicians less? Just being a regular punter. And so I put it to the punters, should I come chat to politicians? And it was overwhelming. Yes. I said, I can chat to Tanya in her own backyard.
Yeah.
Would you like me to come? And the punter said, yes, we would love you to. When you do stuff like this, do you ever feel like there's things you can't say or worried about saying certain things to get clipped? Because you're in the media all the time. You're on Sunrise. You're on Sunrise the other day with Barney. Are you constantly thinking, how am I going to be clipped out of context and what's the damage going to be?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really important part of thinking about what you're going to say when you do an interview. But I always think that political communication is the truth told well. So as long as you're trying to put your point of view in a way that is honest, you kind of reduce the risks a little bit. It's hard to be misinterpreted if what you're saying is what you actually mean.
How do you do that if you have to go through a corporate media machine that is incentivized to misrepresent?
I think you just have to accept that sometimes, you know, things won't go your way when you do a media interview. Like,
are there bad consequences? Like, have you had a scenario where you said something, you thought it was fine, and then it just kind of...
Well, I have been sued before for defamation. I mean, that
really?
Wasn't great. Yeah.
What'd you say?
Yeah, I mean, the problem was what I said, so
was it really?
I'm not going to say it again.
Were they a rich and powerful individual?
Oh, look.
There's only probably five of them.
I really don't want to reopen.
Yes, tell me about the one time you got sued and what you said about who.
So you do have to be careful, right? Yeah. You do have to be careful. But I think in politics today, there's a lot of latitude to say the things that you want to say. Mm-hmm. I think there is an incentive to be more sensational than ever. And that, mm-hmm. at least in part, is driven by the way social media works and the way algorithms work, yeah. and the way the mainstream media works as well. Mm. And you do have to resist that temptation a little bit. Conflict is a necessary part of democracy. Disagreement is a necessary part of democracy. Mm. Most big issues that we face as a nation are kind of complicated, and the way through them is through painstaking work of addressing the reality of the issue, lots of research, lots of different voices, listening more than you talk, comparing different arguments, making a judgment once you've had a chance to think about the different points of view that people have. Like, that is so boring. It's much easier to shout a slogan and people go, oh, yeah, that sounds convincing. Mm. That's not good for the way decisions are made. It's not good for our democracy. It's not good for our people.
So how these corporations make money cuts directly against what you're saying. It seems to me, because obviously I'm online, you're online, the conversation is getting worse. And if I look at America, I go, that's where we're headed. Do you look at America and look at their discourse and go, that's where we're headed? Or you think we are charting a different path?
I definitely think we're not the same as America. There are things that I worry about in the American media environment and democratic discourse that I don't want to see imported into Australia. But I think we've got some really good protective factors here. Mm. The fact that we have compulsory voting, that we say to every Australian, it's not just your right, it's also your responsibility to turn up and cast a vote every few years, means that we are always talking to the broad middle. And I think that's a really important protective factor.
Mm. A few weeks ago, some bro intellectuals on social media were calling out my account, and that sent the army of their little minions over to my page, and they're just bombarding it. And I'm like, oh man, it makes you think, and you kind of question, am I off on this? What's going on? You're wondering if you're off. And then as I'm walking around just surfing, whatever, I get recognized every now and then. And it's just, everyone's like, hey, love you, mate, blah, blah, blah. And it's that disconnect between real life and online.
Yeah.
Do you read the comments?
No, mostly not.
Well, since you don't read the comments, can I read you some comments? Because I think being a politician...
That's going to be great. Yeah, let's go.
People say to me, you should be a politician. And I'm like, no. One, I think they work too hard. Two, Canberra's too far from the beach. Three, my reading speed is slower than normal, like we've discussed. Four, any post a politician makes online, everyone hates you.
Yeah.
So I thought we could bond over some of the hate we get. And mainly, let's face it, for sensationalist clickbait, I'm just going to read these comments and clip it to make it look like I'm saying it to you. And then when people watch it in full term, they'll be like, he's not saying it to them. JK says, shut up, Tanya. Does that hurt your feelings a little bit?
No.
No? Tanya, go stick your head up a bear's ass, Muppet. Labor, parasites. That's more of a collective hit. To the personal ones, I heard your husband is a convicted heroin dealer.
Yeah.
You get that a lot?
Yeah.
We can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Listen to this fucking mutant. And then to round it out, love every post you make. And can I say, you rock those glasses.
Again, my mum.
And now just to make it even, you can just read some of my comments back to me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Then we can bond over how much the internet hates anyone online. Right.
Bought off from the Freemasons.
Got me.
Let me guess, Teal Shill has been paid.
How dare you, Tanya?
Labor Shill. You're a Teal Shill and a
Labor Shill. I get Labor Shill. Could you believe it?
I've got Crandogram saying Gay Kent.
Yeah. And then there's one above that. Can you make out the emoji one?
W Anchor.
Oh! Phonetics?
I'm a bit slow with the, you know, online insult lingo.
Yeah, so that's what I get.
Yeah.
So I get a bit of that. But I thought we could just bond over, man, how tough is life on the internet? You get a lot of the personal attacks about your husband.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of public record that my husband, when he was a teenager, got a conviction for selling heroin. And he did almost 3 years in jail for it. And he was really very lucky to be able to put his life back together after that.
Mm.
He did the crime. He pleaded guilty. He went to rehab and then he went to jail.
Yeah.
And
Do you get sick of having to, like, talk about it or having it thrown or having it, like...
No, actually, I don't, because the thing that is really an important part of the story is that he was a teenage heroin addict who managed to stop using heroin and go on to lead a healthy and productive life, to give back to his community, to have three beautiful children and be a wonderful father and husband. And when a parent is facing addiction with their kid, where someone gets out of jail and doesn't know whether they're ever going to work again, and they talk to him or hear his story, it gives them hope to keep trying and to go on. Mm. And that is so important and so powerful. This is well over 40 years ago now, and he still has to answer for it most days in one way or another, and certainly every day on the internet. Do you know, the thing that I feel most strongly is I'm proud of him for what he did to change his life and what he does every day now to repay his debt to society and the man that he is today and the hope that he gives other people.
Because politics is the most brutal sport to be in. I feel like in any other context, it wouldn't be as hard as it is to be in politics.
It's hard because it matters, right? Like, what have you done in your life that really matters that hasn't been difficult in one way or another? You like surfing, right? You don't stand up the first time you catch a wave. You have to keep at it. And you have as many wipeouts as you have great waves. And without years of dedication, you'll never reach the standard that you want to reach. That's just life, you know? The gains don't come easily. You have to work for them. And politics is no different to anything else in life.
You're dangerously giving me a bit more hope than I usually have. Because
I'm really sorry about that. It's going to be really hard to maintain that veneer of cynicism if I keep going.
It is. It is.
Okay, I'll stop. I'll stop.
Please. My job is to be cynical about politics.
Yeah.
What I think punters on Patreon and the cynical punters that follow me, what I really want is a defense of the Labor Party. Because I think I come from the perspective of I'm pretty new to politics.
You're all shit.
Well, not quite. So I'm trying to straddle that between my audience is like, they're all the same, they're all the same. Yeah. But there is a core to it where I agree and I think they are all the same, no offense, where all the big issues, all the structural issues, all the things that are screwed, housing, energy, resource management, all of those things.
It's just so not true.
But you say that, but when I look at all those issues, I see the structures the same. I see Albo come in. And the systems are tinkered around the edges. Great. I was advocating for you the other day. I told my brother, I'm like, you got a tax cut, you know? And he's like, what?
What?
You got to do a better job of marketing that. Because he was like, oh, is that why my pay came out more? And I was like, yeah, bro. But then what I'm tapping into and what the punter universe is tapping into is the systems are the same. The privatization of the system is the same. The housing crisis is still selling land to private developers. 30 years of the same system. And the housing crisis, the systems and the structures continue. The resources continue to be given away for free. And I think when people look at the big structure of government, we see the lobbyists and the money identical. When it's Labor, Liberal, same donors. When we see the lobbyists roll in, it's the same lobbyists. That's the sentiment that people are saying they're the same, even though I take your point that you're not the same.
Can I'll make a general comment and then I'll
go
do
for
some
it. Yeah. Go where you want.
The first general thing I want to say is it's your democracy. So if you want it to be better, you have to be involved. And that means following the news and having an opinion that's actually based on facts, not just based on whatever dumb stuff people are saying on the internet. Mm. You actually have a responsibility to inform yourself about the complexity of some of the issues that we face as a nation. And then on the big issues, I just think there are, you know, chalk and cheese. And I would say there are so many proof points of that. Like, you talk about the three tax cuts.
Mm.
We've given three tax cuts. We spread those tax cuts out so that every Australian taxpayer got a tax cut. Mm. The Liberals and Nationals wanted to cancel tax cuts for low and middle income earners and give all of the tax cuts to high income earners.
I saw that. And
that's a real difference.
Yes. And right. Their tax cuts were a
wages,
joke.
Yeah. Wages, right? The minimum wage has gone up about $14,000 a year since we came to government. The Liberals and Nationals said when they were last in government, this is a direct quote, low wages are a deliberate design feature of our economic architecture. That's a quote from one of their ministers. We want people to have higher wages. Why has it happened? Because we changed the industrial relations system. The way wages are set has been changed by law. Mm. We made those changes to give people higher wages. And on top of that, in big female-dominated industries like aged care and early childhood education and care, we have funded 15% and higher wage increases for that workforce because most of the money for those systems comes from the government. So that's just one example.
Mm.
There is nothing more fundamental to addressing cost of living than taxes and wages for Australia. Mm. Lower taxes, higher wages for working Australians. 20% university debt relief, you'd probably benefited
I
from
did.
That.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I do want free university though.
Yeah, no.
But
okay.
I'll take the 20%.
So here is the thing about people say, I want free university, I also want free childcare, yeah. I want free hospitals, yeah. I want better roads, no tolls. I know that's something you're interested in.
I hate the tolls.
There's all of these things that we want to do for free. We need the tax base to do that. And I know how you're going to...
You know.
No, I know what you're going to say about this too, right? If all of those spending things that we want to do as a government, you're not choosing between a really bad idea and a really great idea most of the time. You're choosing between 100 really great ideas. So I'd love to do free university. I also want to deal with youth homelessness. I also want to raise a whole range of social security payments. Mm. I also want to build more housing. I also want to do more for the environment from my last portfolio. Let's invest more in recycling. Because there's jobs and environmental benefits to that. There's 100 good things that we want to do as a government.
Mm.
And your question about why haven't we done them all yet, I think it's fair to feel impatient. And I particularly feel like it's fair for your generation to feel impatience because we do have this big intergenerational inequity in our country.
Mm.
And it is fair to say, well, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing for us? And why haven't you done it already? But big change takes time. It's always harder and more complex than you think. Mm. Like you said, what about housing as the example? And we're out there now building thousands of homes. I opened 83 new units in my electorate recently. I've got another 25 or 35 units that I'm going to open soon because of investment that our government is making.
Mm-hmm.
But how long does it take to build a house?
Right.
You know, like you've got to find the land, get the permissions, build the thing, get the materials, have the skilled tradespeople to do it. Why didn't we do it yesterday?
Yeah.
We've started it.
I have no doubt that Labor is doing, you know, what they can in certain portfolios. But I think what we see is that the overarching systems and structures of how we solve those problems remain the same.
Yeah.
And so we kind of get Band-Aid solutions. I'm just saying the inequality grow. I'm seeing the housing prices continue to go up. And like Claire O'Neill has specifically said, we don't want to see how prices come down. I think the Labor Party have become the Malcolm Turnbull Liberal Party, that every solution we're offered isn't what it was, what my dad had, which was here are the public services.
Yeah.
Here is how the government can run it. We're getting all this stuff we wouldn't have got. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But then we're also seeing the government go, if we're going to help you with your energy bill, we are going to give money to the energy companies on your behalf. And the energy companies are like, great, this is great. Our profits are fine. Like, I feel like Labor's helping us, but they're not costing the corporations that are price gouging, that are becoming greater monopolies. They're not standing up to these forces of corporations that is kind of crushing the economy. That's probably, I'm trying to make this like bigger picture systemic thing that I wonder if people are picking up on that.
Wow.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Reducing inequality is a really important part of our mission. And the way that we do that as a Labor Party is through lower taxes on low and middle income earners and higher wages, particularly the minimum wage and award wages. But it's also through that social safety net and the way that we're restoring it. Like, we are restoring bulk billing. Medicines are as cheap this year as they were in 2004. You know, that social welfare net reduces pressure on people. It reduces the anger that people feel about working so hard and not being able to keep up. And I get why you're impatient about that, but it is a really big thing to turn around a decade of cuts to services.
Yeah.
Like, just one example is our public education system, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a proud graduate of public schools. Right now, over the next decade, we'll put an extra $13 billion into public schools because when the Liberals were in, they cut $13 billion from public schools. We are fully funding every public school according to their need. The Liberals and Nationals, when they're in government, said no public school will ever receive more than 95% of the funding that it needs. Like, they baked in inequality into the system.
Why do they do that?
History lesson. John Howard started the push to get more people to go to private school because his idea was that if you could find a service in the telephone book, it should be privatised. He had a sort of ideological view that the religious-based schools in particular gave you a values-based education, which I think public education, which teaches you to rub along with everyone, is actually a really important value to learn as well.
I agree, because you're talking public schools. And I'm like, yes, let's talk other great ideas that smarter people than me have had. Why are we giving our gas away for free? Is it the fact that you're afraid of what happened to Kevin Rudd and Julie Gillard when they tried to do something like this once upon a time, and then the media dropped $90 million, $100 million against them and just wrecked them? Like, what is it? Because,
well, I lived through that. Like, the minerals resource rent tax, the mining super profits tax that we tried to introduce, and there's a million comments of mine on the public record about what I thought about that. You know, the resources that are underneath our soil and in our oceans belong to every Australian, and we should be getting a fair return on them.
Make it policy.
I agree with that. And we tried to do it. We tried to do it at a higher rate. We eventually had to compromise and do it at a lower rate. And even that, once we left government, was reversed by, you know, the Abbott government back in the day. So we've now increased the petroleum resource rent tax to get more for
our
resources.
But it's still not even brought in a cent.
Yeah. These are long-term propositions. These are 30 and 40-year projects, and you can't just, you know, make up the rules and change them every 6 months.
Whereas I think you can.
Because, well, that's Venezuela.
And no, it's Norway.
So no, that's not changing the rules. That's setting the right rules for them.
But you have
at the beginning. That's what they did that is different to what we did. They set the right rules for them.
But we have to ask, because it's a fair argument, sovereign risk, blah, 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 but also a gas lobbyist in Parliament House, a coal mining lobbyist.
I'm not making excuses for how little tax they
pay.
I'd love them to pay more tax, they are paying more tax under us.
So then here's what I would say. Yep. When it comes to industries like this, there's like clear public sentiment, and this is where I'm like, I'll come into bat. My tiny little Instagram army. But you've got a Japanese-owned, government-owned, partly cartel, Australian pseudo whatever offshore ownership, not paying tax. They've been screwing us for years. I do not care if it's not fair for them long term. This is an industry that causes so much damage to people's physical health. Like Darwin, they were just measuring that the air quality coming in from those gas plants is like above the recommended whatever. They're such bad industries that have been screwing us for so long, and they've been using their propaganda machines against us. When you say, oh, but it wouldn't be fair to set the rules and change them on this, and I just don't care about them.
Yeah.
I say screw them, because as Norway said, the prime minister at the time, or minister, whatever he was, he said, they said they'd leave. They didn't.
Yeah.
And I just think it isn't as unfair as potentially some people will say.
Yeah.
And I think the sentiment for Aussies are just like, who cares? Like, I just don't care about them.
All right, so we have increased the tax on them. The estimate, and we'll see after the 4 years are up, but when we introduced the tax, the estimate over the four-year period was $2.4 billion extra over the 4 years.
Which is still, I'm not even...
You can argue that it's
which I will.
Not enough. Yeah, and
well, Chris Bowen,
I could have predicted that you might make this point.
Chris Bowen said the same thing, yeah. and I get it, but I'm just like, guys, you'd win so many votes if
and
you were just...
The petroleum resource rent tax is one of the taxes where people are worried that international companies are having a lendivers. The other is just company tax.
You don't think they are? You don't think they are?
Well, I would like to see us collecting more revenue, yeah.
What stops you from saying they are clearly bludging on us?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to generalize.
They are a powerful lobby group. Like,
I don't care about that. I was the environment minister, right? I was the environment minister. I stopped a mine in New South Wales and copped all the, you know, front page criticism of that, and that decision's being litigated at the moment. I don't mind saying no. I certainly don't mind if people are poor actors. I don't mind calling it out, and I don't mind shutting down their businesses if that's the, you know, if that's what the law requires. But I do think you need to set the law and stick to it. You can't just chop and change at convenience.
So why can't we just set a law now and stick to it?
For the future, you can. So the gas reservation policy that we're consulting on right now, we will be reserving 15 to 25% of East Coast gas for Australian uses to bring down gas prices in Australia.
I just feel like it's the smallest possible move, whereas if we're going to make a move, they're going to come at the Labor Party.
So our estimate of how much extra company tax we'll collect because we've gone after multinationals is an extra $15 billion over the next few years because of the changes that we're making. Like, these are big amounts of money.
But
like,
not really when you put it into context of Norway makes $78 billion in 1 year on their one resource.
They set that tax policy at the beginning of their resources exploitation period.
They didn't.
And they've made it over a long period of time.
But they had to, like, the best time to plant
anyway,
a tree 30 years ago.
I'm not going to argue against the Norwegian system because I
see like
the
Norwegian system? You see the appeal?
I absolutely see the appeal of it. And I certainly think that those resources belong to all of us as Australians and we all deserve to benefit from them.
And choosing a point in time to just make that law, a time when the opposition has absolutely wet the bed, might be a good time to go against a powerful industry. Because I think here's why I think it's such a pertinent issue. Not that I love gas so much. I think it's a pertinent issue because every year that the Labor Party, with the biggest power it's ever had, looking at an opposition that can't tie its shoes right now, like, it's a joke what they've become.
Yeah.
If there's a time to do something huge, now is the time. And I think what people sense, the vibe check, this is what I'm good for, getting vibe checks on people, it's that it comes straight to transparency.
Yeah.
And your transparency report card that's just come out is the Albo government's more secretive than even the Scott Morrison one. And this is a massive problem. Like, the FOI laws coming through, and I'm just going off nerds.
I don't even know if I want to move off gas to transparency or if I now want to stay on gas. This is a fun interview.
I guess because I do want you to explain to people, because I guess what I'm trying
to can I give you an example? The FOI laws are a really interesting sort of practical example, right?
Mm.
There's basically the equivalent of bots now putting in freedom of information requests. You know, we've got senators who've been accused of putting in a pay per FOI request for government documents. We've got multiple applications that you can see are just ChatGPT. How do you balance out the taxpayers' interests in that circumstance?
It's challenging to solve that problem.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pretend I know what the easy solution is. Yeah. But when these lawyers pretty much say, yeah, that's a challenge, but also this is overreach and this is consolidation of power and this is where the Labor Party have shifted to, like, the money out of politics law. Like, all the experts I'm listening to are like, they've literally, like, and you can look at example of Victoria. When was the last independent got elected in Victoria now? There's no Liberal Party opposition. It's just a Labor Party single state there, and that's not good for democracy.
Yeah, but hang on, the reason they're saying that is because we've put spending caps in place and there's independents saying, oh, no, I want to be able to spend more than the spending cap. Like, actually, during elections is healthy for our democracy. Or we end up like the United States, where you have to be a multimillionaire to run for office.
You don't think those
place.
Rules are rigged in Labor and Liberals' favour? So, you don't think?
I think spending caps are necessary for our democracy.
No, I mean the rules as a whole.
No, I don't.
Because
the cap when we came in, I think on donations disclosures was about $17,000. And we wanted to bring it down, I think it was to $1,500, and we had to compromise on $5,000.
Do you have compromise?
If you want to get legislation through the Senate, you need votes. Like, we don't control the Senate.
But why does the Labor Party go to the Liberal Party for
votes? We
don't.
We go to either. We go to whoever's
going to... But the funding ones went through the Libs, and the Libs...
Well,
you know the Libs. They just want to keep the system.
We do a deal with the Greens and Independents or the Liberal Party, depending on who's prepared to deal.
But aren't you more aligned with this issue?
We deal with the Senate that the Australian people elected. That is how democracy works. We get as much legislation through with the Greens and the Independents as with the Liberal Party. We wanted lower disclosure. We wanted more restrictions on spending in campaigns. And the thing that surprises me about the Independents who are complaining about spending caps is they're raising their money from somewhere. They're not all like, you know, Nana sending in $2. They're also receiving donations from, you know, quite large donors, quite wealthy people. Do the rules not apply to them? Money in politics is a problem.
Yeah.
The less money we are spending in campaigns, the better for our democracy.
Yeah. And I think that's the core that I think everyone agrees with.
Well, no, not everyone. Not everyone, because they wouldn't vote for it.
Well, people who give money and influence politics that way don't agree with it.
Yeah.
Corporations don't agree with it because that's how they get unfair access to this sort of stuff.
And real-time disclosure, I've got to say, is the other thing. Like, I've been talking about...
Is that true? Do we have that?
Yeah, it will start in the middle of this year, I think. Yeah, it'll start in the middle of this year, I think. The fact that you could, it could be like 14 months after an election before you know you funded someone, I just think that's, again, really unhealthy for democracy.
But then you've got these established parties have these slush funds that essentially filter money to whichever candidate sort of needs it to run against whoever in whatever candidate, in whatever sort of seat there. And I think the system is still entrenching. When you look around the world, how do we get money out of politics? Very sticky, very tricky thing to do. We already publicly fund elections, tick, great. Yep. Real-time disclosure, tick, great. But I want all money out. I don't want independents taking money from billionaires. I don't want anyone taking money from billionaires.
Okay, so if you want all money out, does that mean you want elections 100% publicly funded?
Yes, 100%. And I'll argue for that.
How much would you be prepared to pay for that?
As much as whatever some nerd calculates and says, this is roughly good enough, cap it the end.
Yeah,
and that's what I would argue for. When things are tweaked, and you don't seem to think that the laws are stacked in major parties' favour, rightly or wrongly.
No. I wish they had gone further. I wish that the disclosure thresholds were lower.
Me too, yeah.
I wish that the spending caps were lower.
Yeah.
I think the more transparency, the better.
Yeah, I agree. But then I think at the end of the day, when you look at the transparency report card that comes out, because this is kind of what I go to, and this is what I think the Labor Party look at it and go, no, it doesn't apply or it's different. It does seem like transparency is something always yelled from the opposition benches, and as soon as they get in, like the ICAC, I just say, I bloody told, like, I was on board with everyone's like, I told you so.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems half-assed, it seems weak, and okay, here's my point that I think I'm trying to make.
But
every failed attempt.
We actually do have National Anti-Corruption Commission now that we never had before.
Let me be hyperbolic. Lots
of investigations.
Let me be hyperbolic.
Yeah.
A failed good thing might be worse than not having it
at all. But it's not failed. That's way too soon.
But when the old mate comes out and he's connected and getting advice from, I'll put the article there, I'm a loose reader. It's like he's connected with whatever, what was it, military or something? Yeah, and he's like, compromise. And I know it's always this in between. It's not there all. But I'm just saying the optics of it are the things that are tearing strips off the Labor Party machine that I believe you're trying to do good stuff. But I think all of these optics, when the transparency report card comes out and it says more secretive than ScoMo, who had 7 bloody ministries, I lose faith. And I think regular punters lose faith. But what do you say to these punters that see that and feel like in order to get things done, you've compromised, and then they might see that the Labor Party puts power and holding power above, and I know it's a balance because if you go too hard too fast, you might get voted out, but they might be indicating that it's tipped the other way, where it's like, well, we just got to maintain power, not rock the boat. And then people kind of think that you are the same as the opposition, which you vehemently deny you're not?
Well, I see the difference in practice every single day. That's what I would say. I see the difference, you know, up close every single day. And
It's probably a good opportunity for you to tell me what you're doing now, because you're in a different portfolio. You've moved into what area now?
So I've got the social services portfolio now. So I'm responsible for, you know, pensions, social security payments, all of that. That's a huge part of my work. And along with that are a lot of programs that are really focused on tackling entrenched disadvantage, particularly in highly disadvantaged communities and intergenerational cycles of poverty. And we're doing a lot of amazing work in that area that makes me really proud every day. Yesterday, we introduced legislation into the Parliament to establish the first Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Children and Young People's Commissioner. We know that Aboriginal kids are overrepresented in out-of-home care and juvenile justice. They start school more likely with developmental delays. There's a whole lot of work we need to do to close that gap. The next big piece of work I've got to do is the next national plan on violence against women and their children. We've had six women killed already this year.
What do you think is a government policy that's going to be able to shift that?
Well, just one example, we've made the leaving violence payment permanent, so you can get up to $5,000 assistance to get out of a violent home. I worked in domestic violence before I went into Parliament. I would have given anything to have that to offer women who are fleeing a violent home back in the day. It would have made all the difference to getting people to safety. The next national plan we do, we've got to address like the most types of crime, despite what people say, right? Mm-hmm. Most types of crime are actually going down. The one area where there's been a really significant increase in recent years is sexual assault. And a lot of that is under 18 victims and under 18 perpetrators. So that alarms me so much.
What do you think has changed?
I don't want to be oversimplistic about it, but I do think the increasingly violent porn that people are watching from increasingly young ages is related. I think it requires a sort of porn literacy, and that means explicit conversations with people in their teens that this is not real life, you know, that not every sexual encounter or relationship is like this. But people think that by not talking to young people about their sexual relationships that they're protecting kids. They're really not protecting
adolescents. As a teacher?
Adolescents.
Ex-teacher, good luck. Like,
I
would be on the fence of like, mate, if you think your kid's not looking at porn, you're wrong, especially if it's a boy kid. But then parents, well, generally, the ones I used to teach and be around, they're like, no, not my kid. No, that's an inappropriate conversation. We can't have it. A lot of resistance to like that disconnect. And I'm a teacher. I'm like, I'm seeing your kids.
Yeah.
I know what they're like.
Yeah. I think parents need to feel empowered to have those conversations as well. I think a lot of parents just find it really embarrassing.
On a policy level, how do you, because I feel like policy is so disconnected. And in your portfolio, it's like, okay, we're going to do a policy and then it's going to have this impact over here. How do you think about going, okay, here's an issue. How do I get a policy that's going to impact something as intimate as a conversation between a parent
kid? It's actually a really interesting point that you're making about lobbyists. I don't remember the last time I met with a lobbyist, but every single day of the week.
Today, Tanya.
Every single day of the week, I'm talking to people who work in women's refuges, talking to adolescent boys who are at risk of using violence in their relationships, who are, you know, social workers who are working with those young men, to researchers who are examining what types of respectful relationships programs work and which ones
don't. Experts
in
the field.
Like, right across the field of people, police, you get really good information from people who are working on the front line. And, of course, at the centre of all of this is children and young people themselves, in this example, and victim survivors of domestic, family and sexual violence, about what would have helped them, what they think would have made a difference in their lives.
Mm.
That's where I get the most valuable information from. And I think people underestimate how important a part of our democracy that is.
I think they do. I think the problem, which is why I'm thankful to talk to you, is because a lot of my audience is cynical. Yeah. And I think there's a certain portion of it that then go, they're all the same, what's the point?
Yeah.
And I guess I'm really trying to do what I can to be like, yeah, there is a point.
Yeah. Can I tell you another thing about lobbyists, right? If an organisation comes to see me and they bring a lobbyist, I actually treat what they're saying to me more sceptically.
Like a car salesman?
Yeah. Well, if you're a business that wants to provide jobs in my electorate, you can get a meeting with me. If you're a local service provider, you give food vouchers to people who are struggling in my electorate, you can get a meeting with me. I go out on Saturday mornings and I do street stalls. You can wander up to me and tell me what your problem is and what you think the solution is. Mm. I put more value on those conversations than someone turning up to me with a mug.
That's a really good mug.
Or a mouse pad. I actually put more value on those conversations. Mm. And I actually think most politicians do. What it requires of people who want a particular change in their community or in the society or country more generally is that you've got a good idea of what the solution is. Don't just come with a problem, because we probably know what the problem is. We do really want to hear what your idea is to solve that problem. Mm-hmm. And, you know, build a relationship of trust with your local representative.
Once again, to listen to that entire thing uncut and in full, I know some punts out there want that, because Joe Bloody Rogan, the biggest podcast in the world, goes for 3 hours and you listen to that. So if you want to listen to this, head over to the Patreon, join We The Punters over on Patreon, support us there. Now, one thing I massively dropped the ball on, you know how we get a politician on and then we do give them a punter's audit about their holdings and things like that?
Yeah, big time.
I kind of got distracted with doing the comments thing and leading to that, sure. And then the conversation kind of kicked off and I forgot I had in front of me.
Again, time pressures. You can't do all of it.
Man. I know, but this is a big ball drop. I take full responsibility for that. No political maneuvers here. So in order to do that, we'll do a quick audit right now. Tania Plibersek holding a few houses, 4 houses, I believe.
4?
Yep.
So, very nice.
Good for you.
The one thing I don't like as well, you can't, like, we can't tell if they actually owe a mortgage or not, or if the mortgage is just sitting at zero balance. And
doesn't know. Negatively, given the income levels, surely they've paid that off and it's just the cash cow at the moment.
Yeah, you would
have. Or actually, it's probably heavily mortgaged to negatively year to do all those things, because you'd be silly not to do it. Hate the game, not the player. That's what they would, if you got 4 houses, I would punt that you're doing that. Yep. The real problem that I should have brought up and wanted to bring up was the fact that Tania, I can't see a lot of her holdings because it's in a trust.
Well, yeah, and this is something we see from all the politicians, right?
It's like, a problem, huge problem.
When I heard about it, the Angus Taylor,
which I'm glad we spent no time on.
Yeah, when I heard about that announcement earlier on in the week, I jumped onto openpolitics.au and looked up his account, and yes, everything's just in trusts.
Dodgy, dodgy, dodgy.
Yeah,
Tania, dodgy. For having a trust, I want to see what's in it.
Surely there has to be another way around this.
I don't think you should be allowed to. I think if you're a politician, I need to see what you're holding.
Yeah.
A trust is the easiest loophole and way. I know there's reasons for a trust, but if you're on $500,000 a year and you're working for us, I need to see what you're holding, what shares you've got, are you income splitting? Because, you know, the things you can do with trust are dodgy things. You can have different beneficiaries. You can take the income.
Well, all legal, not dodgy at all.
I think they're dodgy.
Right.
I don't think dodgy is a legal term. I think you can.
All right.
It's legal,
but
dodgy.
Yeah, right,
you
right.
know. And I just think you shouldn't be allowed to. And that's a rule that I think should be changed instantly, because I think it would increase. And this would be interesting to see what Tania said about this.
Yeah.
To go, it would increase trust if I could see what you're holding. Are you trading shares? Are you holding things? Are you income splitting to children?
I think this even goes back to Peter Dutton back in the day. Like,
he was a trust. You know, like, he's all behind
massive
trust.
Massive trust, but worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
All these news articles dropping it. He's got $100 million in property or something. Yeah. And we can't verify it because we don't know what's in your bloody trust, mate.
It was Dutton Holdings. It was childcare centers.
Which, once again, gets massive money from the government.
That's right.
You can't be doing it. It's, once again, Angus Taylor when he's water thing.
Yep.
He, the director of a company that... Anyway. So...
Trust? Oh.
Yeah. Not good. Not good. Sorry. I should have brought that up.
No. I just want to see...
Didn't.
Yeah. What's in the trust?
Punter James.
Hmm.
You listened to that whole thing.
I did. Yes.
Give me your feedback and thoughts. What was going through your mind as just a regular punter who's not that politically engaged?
Yeah, okay. Well, it's probably a couple of things. I think the first theme that, and you know, you got it from my punter edit there, was that the big theme throughout the whole thing was big change takes time. Yeah. that I think that came up a couple of times now. It was sort of you have to get the community on board for the change to be popular, for it to be lasting. Mm. To that,
she
I
was showing
say,
you her political calculations. Yeah, what do you say to that?
To that, I say, who are we kidding? Seriously, yeah. And this is something that you know I think is a bit of a joke. Firearms reform. Let's look at the Bondi incident. I think it was mid-December, let's say the 14th of December. New South Wales passed legislation.
We weren't even sitting.
No. New South Wales passed legislation on the 24th of December.
Arguably ill-thought-out legislation.
Yep, but less than 2 weeks later, and the state has already made a legislative change. Don't tell me that big change takes time. Also,
not having Punter James heard the government official defense, and he is not having a bar of it.
Yeah, okay. I think the other thing, she was saying, you have to get the community on board.
Yeah.
Does anyone, federal or state, really think that the community or the public would be against taxing our natural resources more?
Yes, but you did see me bring up.
Sorry, you don't why need aren't you doing community. This? You don't, everyone in the community already thinks it's a good idea. Look at the Punters Politics page. The thing is, it's the lobbying and it's the multinational corporations who are funding them. So I'm just like, you don't need to win the community over when it's a very logical, common sense play.
To be fair, she did. The Labor Party machine is still got PTSD from losing the election
15 years ago.
Correct.
15 yeah. Okay. Years. And that's so, yeah, another
that's
thing.
That's their story. That's their argument.
In the interview, you did a really good job of saying at the moment, and we can all see it with what's going on, Labor are killing it at the moment because they're doing some good things, but they're also killing it because the coalition is not. Okay, yes, we're seeing a little bit of a rise of One Nation, but this is a time where Labor could do whatever they want. And you don't just have to use the Liberals to get it through the Senate. Use the Greens and use the crossbench at the moment, and you'll be able to pass anything through.
Yeah. Well, this is where I feel like I dropped the ball, and this is where I want you to give me feedback. I want a bit of a political scorecard, and I'll put it to the punters as well. I want your feedback. This is the first interview of its kind that I've dabbled into, and to be fair, I felt a little out of my depth.
I was
like, is this my role? Is this what I do? I was like I said, existential crisis. Like, what should I be doing? Should I just be holding government to account from a distance and not tainting myself with the political maneuverings of these people who are outclassing me?
For sure. I got two things to say. Number one, you're not a journalist.
No.
You haven't studied journalism before, which I think is a good thing because I liked it in this conversation. Oh, our conversation isn't, here's my point 100%, here's my point 100%, here's my point, here's my counter. A conversation.
That's what I was aiming for. I was aiming for a conversation.
Yeah, a conversation ebbs and flows. It goes through someone if you're actually listening to each other going, reconsidering what they've actually said rather than just thinking about what comes next, right?
Yeah, so
you're not a journalist, but she did champ you.
Did I get a champ?
She is an expert in political maneuvers. There were so many examples throughout the whole thing,
because,
right?
You know, the problem with the conversation that I want, like conversations, the problem with them is they are wide open for political maneuvering. This is why journalists go, you said it on this day. What do you say to that? What do you say to that? They're hedging and enclosing the politician, trying to close off all the exits, go, no.
Yep.
Whereas with a conversation, there's exits everywhere.
Yeah.
And she's hopping out, political maneuvering, ignoring. Like, classic, I would bring up, and this is where I felt I might have dropped the ball, and I need to get better at this. Okay. I'd bring up lots of things because I'm trying to make a broader point about, hey, we're feeling
systems,
ripped off because of all these
incentive
things.
Structures, yep.
And she could take that in good faith and say, I can understand it. Or she can now pick and choose because I brought in too many elements.
Yeah.
So she'll pick and choose the one that fits and ignore the rest.
Yep.
Like, just pivot to something else. And then the conversation by its nature moves on. And I was like, damn, I didn't hold her feet to the fire enough maybe, or I don't know.
Yeah, I get you. I think she definitely champed you when she said, it's like having a conversation with my kids. And it was like she gave you a metaphorical tap on the head.
I got champed.
Which I was like, God, that's good. But at the same time, in an open forum like that, where it is an ebb and flowing conversation, I think you did a fantastic job.
Well, I appreciate that. Let's go through a scorecard. Political maneuvers. How was my pivot defense?
Oh, pivot defense. Out of five, I'm giving you a 2.5.
Yeah, I'd give myself less.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I'm political maneuvered up the wazoo. It's like,
hey, this is an expert operator who's
been around for a while.
I felt that. I felt the decades.
Also, home ground advantage. She wasn't in your backyard, was she?
True. I don't have a backyard. Yeah. I'm in a unit back.
Hey, excuse me, politician Jim Chalmers. You want to come hang out in my backyard? We'll sit in a couple of camp chairs and do a chat.
If we could get to Joe Rogan level, that could happen.
Yeah, why not?
But, you know. All right. Rapport out of 5.
Oh, it's got to be a 5.
Yeah, I felt. Okay.
I think you were, you're both
almost too chummy, because sometimes a score too high on this is a bit of a detriment. Yeah. 5 is too high, I think.
We got to play the game, though. That's the thing. And if people in the comments are being too cynical about it, you have to play the game.
Okay, then.
Otherwise, we're never going to get to talk to a politician ever.
Let's just scientifically change the score criteria.
Mm.
If a 10 is an ass kissing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and you're like, man, come on. Ball up, ask a bloody question. Oh, yes, so tell me how great you are. If 10's an ass kissing and 1 is like a hostile no rapport, she hates it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I get you. Where is it? No, I think you're like a 6 or a 7. I think you're good.
A bit of ass kissing, but
yeah, you've got to be in there somewhere. You've done well.
Yeah, okay. All right. I got the bribes in, obviously. I got a spot on lobbying in.
I saw the teacup and the electronic thing that she was quite confused about.
and the yet-to-be-released punter's product. So if you watch, there's a yet-to-be-released punter's product of these Puntamon Pokemon cards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I need to get a set, actually. I gave mine away to my friend. Yeah, I need one.
Grill temperature.
Ooh.
if the grill's cooking some meat.
Okay, if we've changed and we're up to a 10, where 10 is burnt and 1 is raw, I think you're good. I think we're at about a 5.
So it's a bit more than just warm, just a bit of a cooking?
Yeah, I think appropriate. Yeah.
Appropriate cooking, okay. Yep. Topic coverage, how do we feel? I once again put on the Patreon punters. I was like, hey, here's what I want to... And there were so many things.
It was a couple of different things. It was sort of childcare, aged care, pornography.
Yeah, we went... Yeah, that's her portfolio. I had to slip that in there.
Disability, then natural resources.
Revolving door, lobbyist. This is where I feel like I dropped the ball. I mentioned it a lot. Oh, are you going to become a lobbyist? Like, I was like, really?
Well, there was a couple of no.
It was a hard no, which I respect.
No. Yep.
But then she also gave the whole lobbying doesn't work thing, and I was like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Bullshit. If lobbying worked, then if lobbying worked, what are you afraid of with the whole gas thing, right? So I was a bit – but obviously with the conversation, I couldn't – time constraint. So I don't know. I'm a bit disappointed in that. Well, we were going to do a bit of shoot the shit, but I think we've run out of time. This is going to be a long episode, so punters, stick around for next week. That's the show. We'll be, if you clips dropping, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, on every platform all week. If you miss us, head over there. Feel free to share this with an episode with a punter, a fellow family member punt. This is the only way podcasts grow. Podcasts, at the moment, I'll be honest, waste of money. Don't make any money with a podcast. It's bad, but it's fun.
Yep. I'd say jump on to either Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a rating. Drop a comment. No comments over 50 on Spotify. We're stopping shoot the shit. But if you've got any show ideas or you just want to say hello, Punters Politics podcast Instagram page is the best way to get at us, or oipunter@punterspolitics.com.
Power to the punters.
Power to the punts.